It is an average day in this small border town. Merchants peddle their wares, guards keep watch at the gate. People go about their business, but lurking deep beneath the surface, a great evil festers and grows. A pulsating mass of formless white flesh awakens. From this conglomeration of meat, a neck begins to sprout, and then a head. Its pale face is featureless, aside from a gaping maw and two empty, wet holes to act as eyes. Eyes which now open for the first time. It worms its way to the surface, emerging through the town's cobbled streets, taking a deep breath of the fresh air above for the first time. The creature begins to sing.
Welcome to Monster of the Week. This week, we'll be taking a look at a creature that has been requested time and time again. But for good reason. Many of you have likely heard tales of the false Hydra, despicable as they are. My goal today, as always, is to approach the subject of this creature assuming nothing. We're going to go over its origins, its in-game lore, and of course some plot hooks along with some practical encounter design ideas. Whether you're a dungeon master or not, I suggest you settle in because things are about to get wild. The false Hydra is unique among the monsters I've covered on this channel, and that you won't find it among the pages of any RPG monster book. This creature was born as a homebrew monstrous creation. It first appeared on the Goblin Punch blog in 2014. The creator of the false Hydra merely posited this monster as a concept. There were no stats, and the artwork provided was mostly depictions of Dead Hand from The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time. These images were meant to serve as a visual aid, since they're kind of the closest thing in media to the false Hydra's description, which is horrifying. The entire blog post is basically a description of the monster, a complete guide to its life cycle, and how it might be used as a D&D monster for your adventuring party to go up against. Now, the false Hydra became a sort of internet sensation within the D&D sphere online. Over time, its reputation as a highly unique and disturbing monster caused its popularity to surge. But the vague nature of this monster's creation left a lot of us wondering, what exactly is a false Hydra? These creatures get their start as aberrant mounds of flesh, which seem to spawn over time underground as a result of rampant falsehoods and lies. At least, that's everyone's best guess. See, the truth is that nobody is really certain of the creature's origin due to its elusive nature. But of course, as dungeon masters and storytellers, we have a little bit of insight into the world that most of its residents don't have. See, once this little mound of white flesh has grown large enough, about the size of a human torso, it sprouts a head, which is attached via a long, skinny neck. This head looks similar to that of a man, except its eyes are empty, wet holes, and its jaw distends in a way that is just simply wrong. The false Hydra, now newly born with an appetite for sentient meat, begins to burrow upwards. Towards the surface, towards the town above. It might emerge in the center of a busy street, or perhaps in the city's sewer system. Maybe it even pops up in the pantry of a local tavern. Wherever its head emerges, like a periscope, it begins to take in its surroundings and get an idea of exactly where it is. For this place, will ultimately become the false Hydra's hunting ground. The second thing that happens after the false Hydra's uncannily human head emerges from the soil is that the false Hydra begins to sing a horrid song. This song can be heard for 5 miles in all directions, and all creatures that can hear it are forced to ignore the false Hydra. I'm sure some of you are thinking, they're forced to ignore the false Hydra, what the hell does that mean? And what that means is that the false Hydra is imperceptible to them. This doesn't make the false Hydra truly invisible, but rather it becomes imperceivable. The song worms its way into the minds of those who hear it and creates gaps in their attention. It is within those gaps that the false Hydra finds its home. While under the effects of this song, you could be face to face with a false Hydra, its empty eyes staring directly back into yours. And you would have no idea that it was even there. Your brain simply ignores its presence, forced to discard all information that tells you the false Hydra is right in front of you, making it impossible to comprehend. The most sinister part of all this is that anyone under the effects of the false Hydra's spell doesn't even know it. An entire town will just keep going about their business, all while the false Hydra is watching them and planning its next move. Now, this uncanny ability to trick the brains of most people into ignoring the false Hydra is not without its flaws. For instance, when it finally decides to claim its first victim, it must stop singing in order to eat. Because of course this thing eats people. I mean, if it didn't do that, what would be the point? The false Hydra might lash out at a lone wanderer in a back alley somewhere and then drag their corpse into a sewer below where it can safely consume its first meal. During this time, the false Hydra is exposed. The victim, of course, will have an up-close and personal view of the false Hydra, but any onlookers will also get a chance to see it if the false Hydra isn't careful. For the sake of our collective education, let's say that on this dark and dreary night, when the false Hydra claims that first victim, somebody did see it happen. The false Hydra was careful, but someone across the street who happened to be peering through a pair of curtains saw the whole thing happen. They'd likely be thrown into a panic. After all, they just witnessed somebody being dragged away by a terrible monster. This is true, of course, but once the false Hydra has had a chance to finish eating and it can resume singing its song, that person, the eyewitness who just saw the false Hydra, will not only become unable to perceive it again, it will forget that it saw the creature altogether. See, the false Hydra's song is so much more than simple camouflage. It prevents the victim's mind from even recalling memories of the false Hydra. But it gets even more sinister. Let's say this time the false Hydra decides to pull the local priest into its lair and dine on his flesh. Even if nobody saw the false Hydra, people will still notice that the priest is gone. Right? And this is the true strength of the false Hydra's dirge. When it consumes someone, that individual becomes known to the false Hydra, and its song will now remove all memory of that individual from all who hear it. Once our priest has been consumed, as far as the people in town are concerned, the priest never existed. But part of the problem still remains. See, now there's a church with no priest, and that simply doesn't add up. To the people of the town, these gaps in logic will soon be filled by some bizarre explanation of their own creation. They'll say, oh, we had a priest, but he's gone to the capital to treat those sick with the plague. Or the main branch of our local faith simply hasn't sent a priest out to tend to this church yet. This phenomenon becomes even stranger when we look at personal relationships in this context. A house of children whose parents have been eaten by the false Hydra will confabulate memories about being orphans who have always lived on their own. A local man whose wife has been eaten by the false Hydra might sit and wonder why his closet is full of women's clothes. He might try to explain this away using some sort of logical leap or simply discard the clothes, recognizing that there's something inherently wrong about them. All of these little inconsistencies will mount on top of one another and add up pretty quickly. The more people the false Hydra consumes, the more gaps in logic the population will have to rationalize. This begins to manifest as paranoia, distortions of memory, slipping sanity, and eventually madness. All the while, the false Hydra grows fat. It consumes and consumes, eventually growing more heads that bear a faint resemblance to some of its victims. As it eats, it becomes stronger, more powerful, and bolder in its tactics. Now with multiple heads, it is able to quickly grab people in broad daylight in a voracious effort to consume them as fast as possible and then resume singing so that anyone who witnessed this horrible event transpire directly in front of them will simply be returned to their docile and ignorant state. But the thing is, these memories of horror seen, along with the memories of the people taken by the false Hydra, are still there. They've simply been repressed deeply. And it's in those deep recesses of your mind that you're still aware the false Hydra is present and the threat that it poses, even if your conscious mind isn't. Now, this can manifest in so many different ways. Those under the effects of the song might have dreams of horrid chanting sung by pale faces at the window. Or they might wake to find a note scrawled at their bedside, which they don't really remember writing. Upon closer inspection, it seems to be a warning that they're being watched. And it's definitely in their handwriting. But as the false Hydra matures, things somehow get even worse. Once it feels secure enough in its strength and abilities, the heads will erupt from the ground and now soar over the rooftops. From here, it will devour everything until its appetite is satiated. Spoiler alert, its appetite is never satiated. And it's at this point the false Hydra shifts gears. It no longer needs to be careful and stealthy. It's become truly monstrous in size and strength, so it begins to sing a new song. This new song, much like the last one, affects all creatures within a 5-mile radius. However, rather than making them ignorant to the false Hydra's presence, this song is basically a radio broadcast of dominate person. Unlike the first song, everyone gets a saving throw to resist the effects of the domination. However, most will fail, and those who are able to resist the effects will be quickly rounded up and consumed by the false Hydra. The false Hydra, however, now finds itself in a bit of a predicament. It has grown incredibly strong. However, it also now needs to consume life on a huge scale in order to survive. One or two humanoid creatures a day is no longer going to suffice. So what does it do? Well, it will now order its mentally enslaved thralls to carry it to the next town where it can consume everything and everyone there. This process will perpetuate itself until the false Hydra is either destroyed or it simply consumes its entire food supply and withers away. It is a certainty that it will eventually eat itself into extinction if it is not stopped. The only question is, to what extent will the damage be? How much destruction must the realm suffer? And how much life is lost while the Hydra gorges on everything in sight? If caught early enough and dealt with, this might be an interesting footnote for the historians in an otherwise sleepy town's history. If left unchecked and allowed to fester, this could mean the erasure of an entire continent. If this sounds like a monster with nearly unlimited potential for plot hooks and storytelling, it is. The false Hydra is a grotesque creature that employs unsettling tactics, and I think that's why it's gained so much attention over the years. For any of you who are actually hoping to use this monster in a D&D campaign, I'm sure the next thing on your mind is, what would this thing's stat block even look like? So to answer that question, I took to the internet.
On your mark, get set. We're riding on the internet, cyberspace, virtual reality.
Now, there are countless homebrew conversions of the false Hydra out there, but there are two that have received a fair amount of attention. One of them is posted on D&D Beyond in the homebrew monsters section. This stat block has a staggering 74,436 views as of the time of this recording, so I suppose those numbers kind of speak for themselves. And the other popular stat block I found is on the DMs Guild, where it's been put up as a pay what you want PDF product. Part of the reason I put off doing a video about the false Hydra for so long is because I knew the 5e stats for this thing already existed in multiple forms, and a big part of Monster of the Week and what I do here is of course converting those old monsters into 5th edition. It's the reason I don't cover monsters on the show that are already in 5e. But I had never actually looked at these stat blocks, and I gotta be honest, I was a little bit underwhelmed by what I saw. So rather than just linking to those stat blocks, I did what I do, and I took my best crack at decoding this creature's information into a usable stat block that also tries to maintain the spirit of the original creature from the blog post. Now, I'm not gonna pretend that my version of this monster is the be-all, end-all false Hydra stat block, but I am happy to at least provide it as an option to you to do with as you please. I'll leave a link in the description below to my conversion of the stat block, as well as the other two that I mentioned, so you can kind of check them all out and see what you think. Now, if you'll join me on this journey of codifying the false Hydra, I'll explain why I did what I did with the stat block, and you can let me know what you think in the comments. Feel free to hit me with some of your stat block ideas or what you might change or do differently, because I'm gonna be honest with you, converting this thing was pretty tough. Also, if you have found this video interesting thus far, please consider dropping a like, leaving a comment. All that stuff helps me out tremendously. Now, plug those ears with wax if you can, because it is time for... While trying to make stats for this monster, I had a few objectives I knew we needed to accomplish. For one, we need to preserve the monster's creep factor. Two, we need this monster to be a legitimate threat, but we don't want it to be overpowered or so strong that the players can't do anything against it. And three, we need this monster stat block to properly represent its chaotic nature and the fact that it grows both physically in size and in power as it consumes. So the first thing we're gonna look at is its actions. In terms of what actions it has, it was pretty easy to nail that down. It can bite stuff and it can sing. The bites are super easy to figure out, but the song is what was gonna be a little bit tricky. I ended up landing on a version of the song that is worded in such a way to make it so it causes the charmed condition, and then everyone who is charmed by this song is forced to ignore the Hydra and can't perceive it and all that good stuff. The reason I went down this path is because I still want things like Mind Blank to be effective at keeping the false Hydra's abilities in check. I also specified that the song only affects creatures that can hear it because that just makes sense to me, and also it means that anyone who can't hear the song, either because they just can't hear or because they're stuffing their ears with wax or whatever, can have a chance to resist the false Hydra's droning call. This also sets up some pretty dramatic uses of the silence spell, which I think is really neat. Just imagine casting silence, and as all sound fades, the party is able to suddenly see the Hydra's heads towering above the city. The best part is, nobody will even hear them screaming because they're in a zone of silence, and once the silence disperses, they won't even remember what they saw. Now, of course, the players will know, but this is a great chance for them to use metagame knowledge in a really fun way. Being able to metagame about what's actually going on, but in character, as if their characters are having these paranoid outbursts and moments of clarity, can be really fun, especially if you have players who love to roleplay. The next thing on my list of stuff I wanted to do was properly representing the false Hydra's life cycle. How do we get from a little lump of flesh with a single head sprouting from it to a multi-headed terror that is scooping up entire towns in its gullet all on one stat block? My answer to that problem is to have two stat blocks. The first stat block is simply the false Hydra as it starts. It's this small aberration, but as it consumes more and more people, it grows to be huge. On the stat block, I included a table that indicates how many creatures the false Hydra has to eat before growing another head, and every time it grows a head, it gains more hit points and its size increases. Eventually, when it has seven heads, after taking a long rest, it becomes a mature false Hydra, which is where we go to stat block number two. This stat block is a more true representation of the gargantuan monster threat that the false Hydra can be if it grows completely unchecked. The rest of what's on there is mostly a combination of standard attack actions that it can take, along with a few legendary actions to actually make it function in combat, and a lot of defining text for its big song abilities that explain how they work. So definitely let me know what you think. As I mentioned, everything's linked down there. So now I'm hoping we have a good understanding of what the false Hydra does and what it wants to do, because I think it's about time we moved along and talked about a few. There are so many little details about the false Hydra you can latch onto when crafting a story using this monster. For instance, it's thought that the false Hydra manifests due to lies and rampant falsehoods. What kind of place, then, is it most likely to crop up in? Perhaps a kingdom where the ruler is using dogmatic propaganda to keep the people in line. If the players are in the city when these strange events start taking place, perhaps the nature of their social environment is a subtle clue as to what's happening. The king, who is maybe aware of the threat, might be going mad trying to solve the problem of the false hydra while also keeping it covered up as to not start a panic, and also avoid the blame of the creature spawning in their kingdom. If that method of genesis isn't appealing to you though, maybe the false hydra comes from another world. It is most certainly an aberration, so having the false hydra hail from the far realm or even Carceri might be a good option. Perhaps your players even find it on some foreign plane and bring it back with them on their journey, not realizing what they hold is a catastrophic threat simply biding its time. It could also be the result of a mad wizard's experiment. Who knows? You don't even really need to have a reason that this thing appears. It might simply just be a thing that was laying dormant in the earth and for whatever reason chose this Wednesday to pop up in town. I do, however, feel like the most compelling way to use this monster is by having the players venture into a town where the false hydra has already begun to spread its tendrils into society. But it's not too late yet. It could be by pure happenstance that the players stumble into this false hydra infested town, but something the original blog post mentioned that I thought was a really good idea is using a letter to bait the players in. They could receive a correspondence from an old friend or past patron, which is pretty benign for the most part, but jammed smack dab in the middle of this note, written in the hand of a madman, is the following sentence. I saw it eat them. You have to help me. I saw it eat them, but I can't remember. If you can actually make a handout that your players can read on their own, even better. Then when the party arrives in town to help out their friend, this friend doesn't seem to remember writing them the letter at all, let alone putting that sentence in it. This should definitely inform your players that something is amiss and that something is definitely up. Thus, the adventure can begin. The real question is though, once the players know something is amiss and they actually start investigating, how are they ever supposed to do anything if they forget what they know about the false hydra as soon as it starts singing? If they're able to catch it in the act of killing someone or trap it in some way and they can kill it before it gets a chance to start singing again, that's probably their most reliable option. But that's a very unlikely circumstance to come about just organically, so first off, I would suggest you give your players a few clues. If you want it to be a little bit easier to find, maybe the false hydra is visible in mirrors. Or maybe it can be seen by some animals and they act strangely when the false hydra is near. I can imagine a druid or ranger in the party casting speak with animals to one of the local fauna and that creature is just terrified of this big white thing that it's seen. And it's very confused about why none of the people seem to care or notice it. Something also to keep in mind is that the more time the players spend under the influence of the Hydra's song, the more opportunities you as the DM will have to feed them clues. Their subconscious might leave them notes that they don't remember writing. They might have bizarre dreams or moments of clarity as they go about their day while their subconscious rebels against the false Hydra's influence. You can kind of do whatever you want here, and whatever you come up with, really, the sky is the limit. If your players are sort of floundering and don't really know what to do or how to progress the story, this is a great chance for you to just give them a very obvious piece of information so as to nudge them in the right direction without necessarily spelling it out for them entirely. The most important thing for them to figure out though is once they realize blocking out the Hydra's song by deafening themselves in some way is the key, they should be able to take it from there. Perhaps they even find someone in town who's not able to hear and has simply been hiding from the Hydra the entire time or just playing along. If you have a character in your party who speaks sign language and might be able to communicate with this individual, awesome. If not, this is a really good opportunity to have this NPC pass the player's notes. And I would suggest you use real written notes if you're playing in person. And these pieces of parchment should tell the players what this NPC has seen. And I'm sure the text upon those notes will be very, very unsettling. If the party fails to stop the false hydra before it matures into its gargantuan form, then the narrative is gonna shift a little bit here. For one, as the hydra attempts to dominate everybody with this secondary song, they have to pass that initial saving throw. And even if they do pass it or are otherwise able to resist the effects, They're now surrounded by a populace that wants to kill them. Just escaping the town with their lives intact might be a challenge in and of itself. But let's say they do manage to escape. Then what? Now there is a gargantuan monstrosity on the prowl, heading to the nearest populated city to cause destruction and mayhem on a huge scale. What do? The players might try to beat the false Hydra there. After all, they can probably travel faster than this thing being dragged by an entire populace of enslaved citizens. And if they get there with enough time, maybe they can warn this other city and start an evacuation effort. To make this a little bit more interesting and engaging for them, maybe they're tasked with guarding an important NPC, such as the local ruler or baron or something like that, and they have to escort them out of the city while it is being abandoned. Something else really important to consider here is that during times of crisis, there are always going to be those who wish to capitalize on the despair. An entire city fleeing into the countryside with all of their valuables is going to make a prime group of targets for banditry. The party might have to fend off groups of aggressive bandits, or maybe they have to ride ahead and negotiate asylum for all these refugees fleeing from the false Hydra in the next city over. If you want to make this really spicy, maybe all these people are fleeing to another kingdom that kingdom is at war with, and they have to try to negotiate a situation where the two kingdoms can work together. Maybe they even devise a scheme in cooperation with the king's army to take down the false Hydra. There are just so many possibilities, and this is a great chance to give your players an opportunity to do a bit of creative problem solving for a very, 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 very troublesome problem. I think that ultimately the false Hydra holds a very special place in the tabletop community, and I've had so much fun just discussing it and researching it. As I said, my stat block for this monster is linked in the description below in the form of a Google document which contains everything you need to run this monster. However, also as my way of saying thank you to all you lovely patrons out there on Patreon, you can find the 5th edition Monster Manual style stat block with some extra art and lore and rolling random tables and that kind of stuff. I would also be remiss if I didn't mention our patron of the week. This week, our lucky randomly selected patron is Dominic Kuda. Thanks for your support, my friend, Kuda Best. And thank you for watching. I appreciate you guys showing up every week, and I hope that the False Hydra finds a special place for you at your D&D table. Until next time.